on Stardust, Barbarossa, Sandman, etc. A lot has been said regarding where MGTOW is heading recently, and there's been some excellent work done on the topic by Barbarossa, Stardust, Spetsnaz, Sandman, and others. If I've forgotten to mention you, I apologize in advance, but rest assured that I do listen to much of the MGTOW stuff that flows through YouTube. I think that discussion is good, even if there are disagreements, and even if some points have made me personally uncomfortable. Ultimately, I think that this is a good thing. For a long time, I was dimly aware that I was wrestling with a ghost, an impossible task. I was aware of it, but when I tried to tell others about it, I was told that the ghost didn't exist, that what I felt like didn't matter, and that if only I'd man up, somehow the ghost would be laid to rest. And so, like the Russian horror movie Night Watch, I was only dimly aware of the space where the ghosts reside. The gloom. It's an apt metaphor, and a good movie. The work of Stardust and Barbarossa was invaluable. They were discussing very deep, difficult topics, and I really had to listen to and understand concepts like neoteny, hypergamy, power by proxy, Brifo's law, and male disposability. As I listened, something happened that I didn't expect. I began to see the ghost. I suppose it was the ghost of what I hadn't been told about my brain and women. When I see a woman in high heels, walking, what I now know about neoteny tells me that I'm reacting because the shoes are making her just a little bit awkward and vulnerable, and that it's triggering an instinct to protect. It helped me to understand that much of what women do is to trigger this and other instincts so that they can use me and, if necessary, power by proxy. It's no accident, though they may say otherwise, that women who complain the most about objectification of women are the least likely to be objectified. Their real complaint is that they hate the fact that more attractive women have more proxy power than they do. If you're still in school, notice that pretty girls get some of their homework done for them, and ugly girls just stay home and get it done. Ironically, the places where these women complain the most, publications, universities and colleges, Facebook, etc., are all tools that allow them to maximize power by proxy. Getting a deep understanding of hypergamy, the tendency for women to date or marry up, was a huge help for me. It snapped into sharp focus feelings that had baffled me for years. Why it was that when things were going well, women seemed to be around like a calm breeze on a nice day. But when things were going badly, the day turned into a desert with no breeze at all, merely an oppressive heat. The root of these feelings was a lie that women have been telling men for decades now. I just want a man on my level. This is bullshit. They don't want a man on their level. They want a man above their level, as high above as possible. If you're determined to get a girlfriend, to have her and be happy for as long as you can, you'd have better luck dating that cashier at Walmart with a touch of fetal alcohol syndrome than that girl in your department sitting next to you in the cubicle beside you. It also explained why 80% of the women chase 20% of the men, as well as why 70% of the women under 30 in the United States are having kids out of wedlock. If you're driven by hypergamy, the biggest and most reliable husband of all is Big Daddy Government. I suppose one of the most painful things that MGTOW has taught me about is male utility and disposability. I believe that it was Stardust who uttered one of the most painful sentences that I've heard for years. Women don't love men. They love what men can do for them. This was touched on by Sandman in his video regarding women only talking to him when they wanted something. Initially, this idea made me very angry and then very despondent. This was because I realized the truth of the statement, and once again, some things became painfully clear. I had to go back and listen to the work on Brifo's law. The female, not the male, determines all the conditions in the animal family. Where the female can derive no benefit from association with the male, no such association takes place, and past provision on the part of the male is no guarantee of future association on the part of the female. This brings me to my first serious girlfriend. I met her at a show I was working on, and within 2 weeks, she had moved in. She was getting evicted, and I lived a block away. How could I not help her? Besides, she was the first woman who'd ever truly fucked my brains out. I thought it was love. And for me, I suppose that it was. I mean, she moved in and all. And she moved out when she saved enough money to get a new place. Maybe it was April. That was love. I met her during the winter while there was a bus strike. I was happy to be late for work, just for the chance to drive her to work on time. I suppose that I was lucky with her, in that for some reason I said to a friend of mine that she was going to break up with me when the transit strike was over. And she did. Now, I suppose the most painful of all was Tina. I was working a job that I loved, but paid very little. Below the poverty line, in fact. At one point, she said to me, "I just think that you should be further along at this point in your life." That hurt like hell. But what she was really saying was that I couldn't do anything for her. After a few months of this, I broke up with her. It wasn't really hard to do because there was no intimacy of any kind in the last 4 months. Even though I tried to be the nice guy, the good guy, as hard as I could. A few months later, I got a much better job that paid me more than a living wage, and I ran into a friend of mine who told me that she had heard that I was doing much better. And she said to him, "Oh, I'd date him again." Wow. I can't tell you how unbelievably hurt and angry that made me. I took it very personally. Knowing what I know now as a MGTOW, I realize that there was no reason for me to feel this way. MGTOW made the ghosts visible, and that has been a good, although initially painful, thing. When learning about MGTOW, it's important to go back and listen to the groundwork. Stardusk, Barbarossa, The Ignored Gender, and Man-Woman Myth are some excellent places to start. What they've done is to do the heavy lifting so that the rest who follow can break a lot of this very dense stuff into manageable chunks, such as the work of Sandman, Vention, Sparky Fister, Sexy MGTOW, and others. Some of the people I've mentioned aren't MGTOW in the strict sense, and others comment on things beyond MGTOW. But at the end of the day, it's still excellent material. It's interesting to note that one of the schisms, for lack of a better word, has been that of the differences in opinion between MGTOW and the men's rights movement. I have to tip my hat to A Voice for Men for the addition of a MGTOW section. I think that this recognizes that there are some common areas and that both approaches are needed. Finally, I'm going to use a word called menaissance. I'm not going to bore you with the definitions that are online because they're stupid, and frankly, I thought I'd came up with the word myself, but I had to double-check. The point is that to me, the menaissance, the rebirth of men, is what's happening online with men right now. It doesn't matter if you're MGTOW, PUA, MRA, or TFL. The point is that we are moving through, in my opinion, the very painful process of men redefining themselves on their own terms. There has been a lot of rage, frustration, and tears as men have begun to work this out. But we are, in my mind, beginning to see the menaissance, which is simply a beginning of a time period where we're going to see some fantastic work of men beginning to redefine themselves by themselves and for themselves. I think it's going to be very exciting, and some great things are going to come from this. Be proud of being a man on your own terms, going your own way, and be